This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello everybody, it's this, another episode of Cinema Recall Unfiltered over at thatmomentin.com. I'm your host, The Vern, and on today's show, I'm going to be giving you my top 5 favorite movies that I saw in theaters in 2018. Really excited to do this. Now, my only rule is that it had to be movies I actually saw in theaters. It couldn't be something I saw on Netflix or downloaded. No, it actually had to be one I went to the theater and actually watched. So let's get into my list. I'm going to try to make this episode really short. But before I do that, let's go ahead and play some ads from some other great podcast shows. I definitely want to give a shout out to the podcast Casual Cinecast on their Ant-Man and the Wasp episode a few episodes back. They did talk about our show, Cinema Recall, and I greatly appreciate it. If you remember Justin from that show, he was on an earlier episode of ours talking about Moonrise Kingdom and our scenes from that. So definitely listen to that episode. I do recommend listening to all the episodes of the Casual Cinecast podcast. A great show. They cover new releases, and then they have great bonus episodes where they cover a different Criterion Collection title. I do highly recommend them. They are just three of the most entertaining, well thought out guests. They're just really great. You can find them again at casualcinemedia.com. On Twitter, they are just Casual Cinecast. So yes, check them out. I'm sure they're on iTunes, Stitcher, most of the places you can find podcasts. But yeah, highly check them out. So yeah, we'll be back. All right, stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. This is Jason.
And Aaron.
And we are the hosts of the For Better or Worse podcast. Like most couples, we have pretty different tastes.
There's a lot of things we agree on, of course, but it can be pretty difficult to find something to watch at the end of the day.
She likes comedies, love stories, and dramas.
And he likes anime, horror, sci-fi, and fantasy.
So we both thought it would be fun to force each other to watch our favorite movies, shows, or anything else we can think of, and record it here for you guys.
The show is a lot of fun, and it's not always torture. Sometimes we actually come around to each other's side.
We would love for you guys to give us a shot, so download For Better or Worse anywhere you listen to your favorite shows, and join us in the fun.
We can't wait to share our experiences with you.
Ever known we were among you until now.
I'm gonna get that gun of mine, and I'm gonna change you from a rooster to a hen with one shot.
Yes. What do you call this?
Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump.
You have demonstrated every loathsome characteristic of the male personality and even discovered a few new ones.
They're here. Hi, we are the Retro Cinema Podcast.
We were both teenagers in the 1980s. That was a long time ago.
And we only do 80s movies that we loved then and we still love now.
Yep, I'm Gidget von LaRue.
And I'm Angry Man.
And we are the Retro Cinema Podcast.
Yep, you can find us at theretrocinema.com and just Google us for any listening information you need.
Oh, Connie, you're all muck and muscle.
Oh, Heather, please.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so welcome back, everyone, to Cinema Recall Unfiltered here at thatmomentin.com. All right, so really appreciate that patience here. I'm going to get into my list right now. So at number five, I have Isle of Dogs. This is the new movie from Wes Anderson. He's going back to his stop-motion animation roots that he did before with the Fantastic Mr. Fox movie, and I think he really upped his game a little bit more on this one. I think this one is a little bit more accessible for general audiences than his other features are, but still has all the same things that Wes Anderson fans love about his features. It's got a great voice cast in there. Edward Norton, Bryan Cranston, Bill Murray, Frances McDormand, Scarlett Johansson. I'm not even touching the surface about how many cast people are in this movie, but it's an incredible family story about this little boy who wants to try to get his dog back from this island of dogs. You see, in this feature, it's set in Japan, and all the dogs have been moved to this island because there is a supposed outbreak of dog flu, and so all dogs are forced to live in this island. And of course, the one that puts this whole thing together is a mayor who hates cats. And the cool thing is that none of the human characters speak English. It's only the dog characters. And there's no subtitles, so we're seeing everything through the dog's perspective. And I think this is a brilliant way because dogs can't really understand what humans say anyways, no matter what language. And so doing it this way kind of puts our perspective in the dog's ears. I'm kind of curious how this plays out in Japan because, like I said before, everyone in this movie that's human speaks Japanese, and there's always some way to translate it, so I'm kind of curious how it goes over there. But I think the animation is great. I think the story is really heartfelt. It goes places I was not expecting it to go. You can definitely check out a full review of The Isle of Dogs over at thatmomentin.com. I gave a full written review over there. I'm pretty sure I gave it 5 out of 5 stars. If I give it any lower, it's probably 4.5, but this movie is incredible. So yeah, number 5 spot, Isle of Dogs, alright? Moving on to number 4, this is a documentary that I saw over at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival, and it is Won't You Be My Neighbor. This is the documentary about Mr. Rogers, PBS host, and what I find most fascinating about this documentary is that even if you don't know who Mr. Rogers is, and there's a lot of people that don't know who he is because they did not grow up with him at all, everyone who has seen this has been just transfixed and has been moved by this man's story, because here's a guy who just wanted to do good. And in this day and age, where there's a bunch of, like, hatred growing around there and people being just straight-up assholes to each other, it just is so heartfelt to see a movie about this guy who generally wanted to do good for people. And the funny thing, too, Mr. Rogers is a devout Christian. He's a devout Christian, but he never attacks anyone else's beliefs. He is just an incredible human being. I was recently on the In Session Film podcast to discuss about that film with host Brandon Cassidy. I'm sorry. I was on the show to talk about that with J.D. Duran. So I definitely would recommend check that out. Gosh, I'm blanking right now. See, I can't remember if it was J.D. Duran or Brandon Cassidy. But check out that episode because I do go into details. Yes, it was J.D. Duran. I go into big details with J.D. Duran talking about that movie, Won't You Be My Neighbor. Sorry if I got this guy confused. I actually was on an earlier episode of Incession Film Podcast with Brandon Cassidy talking about another movie called 22 Balloons or 6 Balloons or 3 6 Balloons minus 1 divided by 3, something with balloons, all right? But check out both those episodes, but I definitely want to plug the Incession Film Podcast, both Brandon and JD. Great guys, love them dearly. Oh, plus you were on an episode that we did earlier talking about film criticism, so yay. So those gentlemen are incredibly great. But yeah, number 4 is definitely going to be Won't You Be My Neighbor. Morgan Neville, who also directed the 20 Feet from Stardom movie, has done an amazing job with this one. I can't say any more high praise about this one, but yeah, that's my number 4, Won't You Be My Neighbor. Alright, so moving on to number 3 is probably what I feel is the best horror film that many people will disagree with me on, and that is Hereditary. Ari Aster's debut feature about a family going through some strange times after the death of their mother is right up there with some of the best psychological horror films of all time. I mean, it's up there with Rosemary's Baby. It's up there with The Shining. I think this is a movie that will be analyzed and discussed from years to come. Right now, people are going to say that this is a bomb, but I feel like years from now, it'll be established and become more and more of a classic, all right? Toni Collette gives a stellar, award-worthy performance. I think all the supporting cast in here are really good. Anne Dowd from The Handmaid's Tale is freaky in this one. I don't remember the kid's name for this, and I apologize about that, but they do also an amazing job. I do have a full review of this movie over at thatmomentin.com, so definitely go ahead and search for that there. But yeah, I cannot say more strong things about it. I was disappointed in the ending. The ending really just felt like it came out of left field, and I didn't like it. But something tells me during rewatches, I'm going to understand the ending a little bit more. The ending's going to make just a little bit more sense. So I'm very excited to check that out and see if my mind can change about that. But yeah, number three, definitely Hereditary. Just really good horror, psychological thrills right there. And it gets under your skin, all right? Yeah, good one. So number two is a movie that I have to try really hard not to spoil because I really want to, but I can't. It is Sorry to Bother You. This is the debut feature from director Boots Riley, who I've never heard of before. Recently, I checked out some of the musical stuff that he's done, and it's incredible, and I can't remember the name of the band right now to save my life. But Sorry to Bother You stars Lakeith Stanfield as this man who wants to get a better job. Right now, he's living with his girlfriend, played by Tessa Thompson, in the garage of his uncle's house. And he wants to get a better job. All right, so he finds a job at a telemarketing agency, and, you know, the first day or so, he's not doing so good. And it's not until Danny Glover's character tells him that in order to succeed, he should use his white voice, all right? And his white voice is supplied by David Cross, I believe, and once he starts using that, he starts making more money. He starts rising up in the industry. Well, around the same time that this happens, the call center he works at, every worker there goes on strike to get better wages. And while he's rising up, his other friends are struggling. And it becomes a story about class and whether or not this is the right thing for him to do to actually keep using this voice or acting this way to get more money. And then the third act comes in. And things just go off the fucking rails there. But in a good way. I'm not saying that it goes off the rails and it doesn't make sense. No. Everything that leads up to the third act does make sense. It's just way out there. How do I describe Sorry to Bother You? I would describe Sorry to Bother You as if Mike Judge, okay? I'm just trying to blank on the guy's name right now. Terry Gilliam and David Cronenberg, all right? And with help from Jordan Peele, all right? But yeah, I would definitely say, like, David Cronenberg, Jordan Peele, and Terry Gilliam, with maybe some help from Mike Judge. It can be either way right there. But yeah, just imagine all those filmmakers together. Yes, you would probably get, and a lot of Michelle Gondry. There's a lot of Michelle Gondry visuals in there. It is one of the most entertaining, funniest, visually amazing movie that I've seen this year so far. And I'm really irritated that it got such a wide release, because this is a movie that your general audience are not going to enjoy this movie. They are not. They are not going to understand this. They think that this is going to be, they're going to think this is going to be too weird. This is definitely an independent feature. It should stay that way for, like, a long time, and then maybe become wide. Like, get more of a word of mouth with this one, and then wait till it becomes wide, because now that it became wide, it'll just be dead within a weekend. This is not that, this is not a movie for general audiences, right? But I still love everything about this. There is a, I believe, a full review over at thatmomentin.com. I think Mark Jackson wrote the review for this one. I believe he did. I'm not quite sure. But whoever did, definitely check out that review. But I think it's one of the best comedies this year. And that leads me to my number one movie of 2018. And this one's going to be kind of a controversial pick, but I'm going to pick it anyways, all right? It's controversial because it didn't come out this year originally, but they did do a re-release of this movie in several theaters, and I gotta do it. I'm gonna pick 2001: A Space Odyssey, the 70mm unrestored version. Now Christopher Nolan found the original 70mm prints. Sorry, I'm stuttering my word there. Of Kubrick's classic, and released it in theaters. So the only way you could watch this movie is if you found a theater that still plays 70mm films, which I agree, it's rare, but they're still out there. And since they did release this in many theaters across the state, because I was able to see it in my hometown of Minnesota, I'm sure this was playing other places too. So I was so excited to actually sit down in an auditorium and view this movie on a big screen the way that it was meant to be seen. It was incredible. You walk into the theater and they're just playing the background score of the soundtrack, and they do that for a while, then it goes into the overture, and then when the movie begins, everything's just loud and pictures crisp and the music is just bombastic. It's like being in an orchestra hall. Yeah, I loved every single moment of watching that on the big screen. It's like being out there in space. It was just amazing. And I know a lot of people are going like, well, that movie wasn't released that year. I know, but it still came out this year in many theaters, so I'm still counting it as my number one viewing theatrical experience in the theaters. Yeah, 2001 A Space Odyssey was just mind-blowingly just intense. All right, I do have a review about my experience at the screening of 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I do recommend you read that. You can find that again at thatmomentin.com. But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap up everything here. That's it for my top five of favorite movies that I saw in theaters so far. Like I said before, once the actual episode, once I do get to a full episode of my top 10, many of my choices here may disappear. Many of them may stay. I really don't know. But let me know what you think, folks. I'm really excited to know if any of these picks are in your top 10 or top 5 at all there. But anyways, folks, I'm going to leave right now. I am The Vern. You can find all of our episodes over at thatmomentin.com. We are on the same podcast network as other great podcast shows, such as TV Good, Sleep Bad, Game Warp, and Asian Cinema Film Club. All right, so definitely check out those shows. You can find us on Twitter at @cinema_recall. We are also on Facebook at @cinema_recall. And we also have a Patreon page where you can find bonus episodes. In fact, I'm going to be posting more bonus episodes next week. But you can find all that just by typing in patreon.com/cinema recall. Go on there, donate just $1, and you can get access to those bonus episodes. But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap up everything right now. I want to say good night to you, and I hope you all have a great day. Take care. Bye.